The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her so that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhage for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside, except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talita kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the Gospel today, we heard Mark telling us again that after Jesus had crossed to the other side last week, remember, from the Jewish side to the pagan side, now in this particular Gospel, Jesus is going back to the Jewish side. He's crossing back after a few days of ministry in the pagan territory of the Decapolis. And as he disembarked from the boat in the Jewish side, he was met again with so many people. And we were told that one of them was Jairus, one of the synagogue officials. You know, this is a very interesting description. And when a person is named in the scriptures, we have to pay attention because the name itself renders what's going to happen in the story. The name Jairus comes from the Hebrew word Jair, which means God enlightens. So if we know that, before proceeding to the rest of the story, we have to ask ourselves, what is about this story that God will enlighten, that we're going to make clear to us using the person of Jairus? Jairus, one of the synagogue officials. You know, he's not just one of the officials. He was actually, according to biblical scholars, and the administrator of the local synagogue. He was quite influential in the community, really respected by his community. He has this not just influence, but stature in the community. So for him, as a representative of the institution, of the Jewish institution, to seek and ask for the help of Jesus, he must really be desperate. When he met Jesus publicly and asked for his help, he was practically saying, okay, I'm gonna lose my job over this. I'm gonna lose the respect and whatever I have that is connected to my status as a synagogue official, because I'm supposed to help get rid of this man. But now, publicly, I'm seeking help. So he was in a very desperate situation. And we knew, and we know from the story, what the desperation was all about. His daughter was not in good shape. She was dying. And we didn't know what condition, you know, what was she suffering from. But what is interesting about this is that, you know, the guy was probably just so anxious to bring Jesus to his house. But people keep on interrupting Jesus. I was in a... I went to a conference last week with Father Peter and with Archbishop, and there were 18 other priests in the Archdiocese. And on my way back, on my flight back here from Kansas City, we were already seated on the plane, and the gate person said, "Oh, you can't. We were just told that we're not allowed to land in Denver because of high winds. We were just wait for 45 minutes." 45 minutes, you know, it was 45 minutes and still there was nothing. And I was looking at my app of my airline and it says, Denver to Portland, canceled. So I said, what's the point of going to Denver if I'm going to be staying overnight there? So I said, let's find for a flight in Kansas connecting to a different airport. And when we were there lining up to the information booth, I was so desperate, you know, so desperate. But I was a little bit, what should be the nice word to say? I guess this is a mess. I have a word in my head, but it's not appropriate. I was frustrated. I was frustrated because it is as if there was just this, you know, The woman in the counter was just laughing with the other person, and they sang a happy birthday over the... And I was just like, I have a flight to catch. And this is like the situation of Jairus here. I have a daughter to be saving here. Let's just go directly from here to my place. But by the way, I wasn't able to leave Kansas anyway. I had to stay overnight. Just if you're wondering. But Jairus is about to be enlightened. He, you know, the The miracle of the woman with hemorrhage, which seems to be an interruption, is actually a way to enlighten Jairus and says, Jesus gets this, your worries and all of that. And what he is about to do with this woman suffering from hemorrhage for 12 years, hopefully will give you confidence on what he is about to do with your daughter. But because he is overwhelmed with the situation of his daughter and wanted to get the help and cure right away, he was probably like, can we just kidnap Jesus here and bring him to my house right away? But we were told that there was this woman too, who was asking and was so desperate. What was her desperation? We were told that she was suffering from hemorrhage for 12 years. And you know, for us listening with our modern Western ears, it's like, okay, she had a bleeding. What's the big deal? Well, it was huge during her time. When you're suffering from hemorrhage during the time of Jesus, you're rendered unclean because of the blood. And no one can touch you, not even your husband, because that person is also going to be rendered unclean. You're not allowed to partake in any kind of religious ceremony. No one will gonna hire you. No one will gonna be with you because they themselves would be rendered unclean. So you see, this poor woman, because of this hemorrhage, was suffering not just physically, but from the ostracization of her community. And the other thing too was that she was suffering also according to biblical commentaries because she was not able to get pregnant. And women during that time was dependent also on the help of their children. So you see, there are multiple layers in here of suffering. And 12 years, the number 12 is quite significant. The woman was suffering from hemorrhage from 12 years, and we heard later on at the end of the gospel that the daughter of Jairus was 12 years old. What's the significance of the 12 in here? First, with a woman, it's a perfect number, but if it's a negative experience, meaning we can never overemphasize the gravity of her suffering. She was suffering. But the 12 years old in connection with the daughter of Jairus is that in the Jewish culture, a woman, a child turns to womanhood at the age of 12 plus 1. You're considered to be a woman, you know, you're marriageable already, which is kind of weird for us, really. I mean, it's like 12. I was just 12. I'm just playing in the streets. So I don't even know about life. But that's how it is. You know, you start your life as a mature individual in the Jewish context when you turn 12 plus 1. So this woman is just about to begin her blossoming. But because of her condition, she was actually almost dying. And out of desperation, you know, Jairus was willing to risk everything to save his daughter. We all know that for parents, you would do everything, you know, for your children, to save the life of your children. That's the same thing here. You know, but Jairus didn't realize, yes, probably after his encounter with Jesus, he will no longer be a synagogue official. A lot of people will gonna disdain him, but he also gained eternal life. I met this woman in another parish. I used to help in that parish when I was in my first assignment, and I got to know her, and it was just a great testimony of faith. And this reminds me of her, of this story. She was telling me that when she was living in California, she lived like a few blocks away from a Catholic church. But because of her past, she had a really difficult past, which includes abortions several times. And she said, you know, Father, I was so filled with disdain with myself. I, I, acceptance and all of that, that I always go a different street because I don't want to be reminded of church. I went to therapies after therapies and all of those things, and also different alternatives out there except faith and except church. Because I didn't have also very good experience with my former pastor, and that just really sealed that I don't want to have anything to do with church. But at the same time, I was seeking for cure, and it was just affecting everything, my work, my relationships, and all of this. And since I don't have any other options anymore, I said, well, I'll try this. I'll try going back to church. She said, I live a few blocks away, so I walked and went to go to confession. And she said, I don't know what happened, but I just felt a new person after that. And that was the first time that I was able to sleep for 8 hours that night. I felt like a new person. But you know, I thought that's just going to make me feel a lot horrible because of my previous experience. And now, you know, she is a very active and a great lector in that parish. You see, a woman who was so scarred, so much in despair, so desperate, but was able to touch the garment of Jesus, the garment of reconciliation, now is able to proclaim the truth from the pulpit, a transformative power of that encounter with Jesus. It's just like this woman. You know, this woman was being conspicuous by just sneaking and touching the garment. But when Jesus, you know, felt that power come out of him, you know, I'm sure Jesus didn't want to embarrass her, but she spoke up. She didn't have to say it and say, I'm the one. She could just have left and say, okay, I'm good now. But she became the witness to the truth of who Jesus is, the woman who was being shunned away by her community because of her condition. Now, I could only imagine Jairus there. It's like, okay, when are this going to stop? Let's go right away to my house. When they were walking back again towards his house, he received a news. Your daughter has died. There's nothing to do about it. You don't have to bother him anymore. You know, how many times we hear that from people, about other people? It's like, that person is a lost case. There's no more hope for that person. That person has tried this, had tried that. That person has underwent this treatment, that rehab, whatever it is, just a lost case. But with God, there's no such thing as that. There's always hope. Jesus went there and said, she's just sleeping. Talita kum, little child. Actually, the literal translation is, little lamb, your shepherd is here. Little lamb, arise, wake up. Your shepherd is here. He found you. New life to you. Talita kum. Thanks be to God, there are Jairuses in our lives who are willing to risk a lot of things so that we have life. I have my Jairuses in my own life, people who will gonna, at least they say, take a bullet for me. I am also a Jairus to so many people, you know, with people that I'm, you know, it's truly invested in a relationship that whatever happens, I'm always gonna be there and be instrument of life for them. And for this community, too. You know, who can you be a Jairus to in your life right now? Or are you the daughter of Jairus in the gospel today who needs to be resuscitated, who needs to be given new life because you're almost dying from something that only God can revive. Talita kum, little lamb, arise.